Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 102, recorded on Friday, 15th of June, 2012. Faster than the speeding bi-winged insect. Stephen Ives from Steam Studio joins us to discuss their plans for an offline mobile client for IBM Connections, the need for disconnected access even in 2012, and how Notes apps really can be made available on mobile devices. We also discuss the new IBM Connections native apps, OpenNTF contest winners, and much more. Sorry, but the audio at the start of the episode is a little bit rough. It does improve quickly, so please bear with us. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com.
Hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus. We are here for episode 102 of the weekly podcast focused on all things Lotus. I'm joined once again by Darren Duke. Hi there, Darren.
Hello, Stuart. I will be my normal, reserved and quiet self because I have had zero coffee yet.
That's not a good start. Mind you, it's 6 a.m. in Atlanta. I can understand you not having reached the coffee pot just yet.
I've already been up an hour.
Oh, right, okay. All sorts of other important stuff like Skype and Twitter and things going on, I'm sure. That's what happens in this house. So it was a good episode last week, wasn't it? We talked to the guys about the X-Pages book. I think we certainly covered the topic pretty well.
We did, and I'm just waiting for the second that magic tweet to come out from Philippe now.
Yeah, so you're there poised to retweet it.
Yes, and I did look at the tweet, and I apparently did retweet it, hence Paul Hannon was actually correct. I can't remember retweeting it, but I did.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, it's a good show, and I've certainly got a couple of chapters further on through the book, so learning loads all the time. So we do recommend that book to everybody that's listening. And so, yeah, we're on to a completely different topic this week. We're on to connections and social business and access for mobile apps, and I'm joined by Stephen Ives this week from Steam Studio. Hi there, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning, Stuart. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
Good to be on the show.
It's fantastic to have you on. So do you want to tell us what you do for Team Studio and also what Team Studio does as a company?
Yes, I was one of the original co-founders of Team Studio way back in 96. So I've been associated with the company for a long time. I've been part-time non-exec role for the last 10 years, but I've recently come back to spearhead the mobile products initiative, and I've been working with the team at the studio, the R&D team and the sales teams, on this new product called Unplugged. Well, it's not totally new. It's actually been around for about 18 months. But we've been putting a substantial investment in building versions for the iPad and the iPhone, and for Android devices. And so Unplugged is a mobile offline engine. So with Unplugged, it's a little bit different model to mobile web apps as you build them today in the X Pages world, because it's a sync model. You synchronize data from the Domino server onto the device, and you build an X Pages application that actually runs on the device with a local X Pages engine. So it's kind of almost like having a little Domino server actually on your phone or on your tablet. And the benefits of this approach are that you can access your data anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter if the network connection is slow, or even if you're in a basement somewhere where you can't get to the mobile network. You can still get to your data. It's like an email application. It starts quickly. You get the data, and it syncs whenever it can on the network and keeps things up to date.
And I want to point out that I'm still on the fence about these applications that believe you are on a wireless network 24/7. I think the sync model is still a better way. And, you know, I think even the mighty Google agree with this, because if you look at their apps on mobile phones, they're sync apps. They're not wireless apps. They're not web apps.
Yeah, absolutely. In the consumer world, sync apps have won out over online for the most commonly used applications. I mean, email and calendar are two very good examples of that. And you look at, for example, Google Maps evolution now in the latest version on Android that was just announced last week has got offline support. So, yeah, consumers, they prefer apps that have offline support on their mobile device. So.
And of course, it's something that we're very familiar with from a note, you know, Lotus Notes point of view. And that, you know, one of the real strengths of Notes since, you know, way back has been the replication model. And it's kind of hard to see how we've ended up moving wholesale from you know, knowing and understanding and wanting that replication support to now being in a world where, you know, typically with some of the newer Lotus technologies, you just have a single server somewhere in the world. You know, whilst that might be clustered, whether it's just in a single place, and then, you know, purely online access. It's strange, yeah, kind of moved away from that.
Well, I think as the internet got better and better and faster, the need for data replication synchronization kind of gradually went away in the online world of PCs. But now we're in a mobile world. The quality of the mobile networks, the public 3G networks, the public Wi-Fi, we're kind of back 10 or 15 years in the past again as far as network speeds and quality go. But it's now wireless, which gives us a lot of freedom, but it's not like a wired network.
I think the other thing is, you know, to continue with that thought, is that whilst if you're in a metropolitan area, you know, the idea of 3G and LTE is very, you know, very familiar to all of us, and actually performance is getting as close to, you know, to wired speeds as we can get probably these days.
Yeah.
But there's so many people that are outside those metropolitan areas, whether you're just in rural areas in developed countries or you know, the massive opportunity that's open in Africa and Asia and so on, where those wired networks just don't exist in some places.
Or you live in the bottom of a hill like I do.
Yes, and I think people confuse the technology. You know, 4G is announced with a big fanfare, but people don't realize it takes 10 years to roll it out. So in certain parts of New York or London or Atlanta, you'll have good 4G coverage pretty soon. But, you know, it's still going to be relatively rare, and the mobile operators don't have enough deep enough pockets to roll out 4G quickly. The cost of capital is much higher than it was before the credit crunch. You know, everyone's financially constrained. So we're going to be having to live with slow and variable wireless networks for many years, I think.
And I'll actually give some kudos to RIM, which very rarely happens in this century, millennia for me. But I remember early on in RIM's push into the wireless space, their mantra was the best wireless application uses wireless the least.
Yes, exactly. And RIM did really understand. Well, mobile networks were terribly slow when RIM got going, and they really had to work hard to engineer a mail application that could work on those very slow and very unreliable networks. But we still have that problem today. We have, even if you're on a good 3G, if you're close to a good 3G base station in London, there are busy times on the network, in, for example, in the evening when people come out of their offices, where even if it's high quality infrastructure, it's going to get overloaded temporarily and slow down.
So if we start with Unplugged as a technology then, so this is you developed it, by the sense of things, mainly for Domino and Notes type apps. So do you want to talk through what kind of scenarios you would use Unplugged in, and what kind of applications could you build on it?
Yeah, sure. We really started with workflow and approval applications. That was the first area. One of our customers is Panasonic, and they wanted to speed up approvals by their managers because the organization was getting a little bit sluggish. You know, people would be away on a business trip, and expenses approvals or holiday approvals or CapEx approvals just wouldn't get done until they got back. They wanted to make it, as you know, as instantaneous as reading and replying to an email. So with them, we built a application on BlackBerry, on the Unplugged engine on BlackBerry, which is a simple X Pages application. Links in with their existing approvals applications running on Domino. So one of the goals of Unplugged is to make it very easy for Domino X page developers to extend applications and to build new applications on the Unplugged engine by making it as similar as possible to the Domino server as we can. Now, clearly, it's a subset of the features of the Lotus Domino server, but it's a pretty faithful subset. So you can add design elements into your databases on the Domino server on the PC, and you can replicate those across the mobile device, and they run. So approvals was the first application area. An interesting one that we've seen recently is business continuity, emergency contacts. A big Asian bank has rolled out Unplugged on all their mobile devices in the organization to give people contact numbers if there is a major disaster. For example, we actually have an office in Tokyo, and when the tsunami hit, we were able to, employees in Team Studio were able to get in touch with each other, and they were able to access critical documents because they had them on their BlackBerries syncing with Unplugged. So large organizations often need a business continuity plan, but they don't want to issue paper documents to people because they may not be carrying with them at the time. Those documents should be synced down to their mobile devices and able to be accessed offline. So there's a huge benefit of offline there, because you can't guarantee that the mobile network will be up and running when something like the tsunami happens.
9/11, you know, kind of proved the same thing. We do a lot of work with the government, and one of the things that stopped working almost instantly in New York and the surrounding area was a cell phone network got inundated, understandably.
And so
people forget that one incident and you are back to 1980 in 5 minutes or less.
Do you want to just talk through, you know, which mobile devices are supported?
We started on the BlackBerry, then we added Android and iOS. iOS shipped 4 or 5 months ago, and that's becoming really the most popular device. And I'd say it's driven more by the iPad right now, Stuart, than any other device, because the iPad kind of expands the horizons of what you can do with mobile applications. You have a much bigger screen, and you have much more scope to build creative applications.
And looking at the demo you got on your site, the virtual address book at the end, that uses the iPad as your example platform. And it certainly seems like you can pull together some pretty, you know, graphical and very appealing user interfaces through it as well.
Yes, I mean, we have architected Unplugged around HTML5. So there's a browser widget within the Unplugged application. Applications are built with HTML5 user interface, so it really is a very flexible tool set. And the other benefit, of course, is that you only have to build that once and it runs across different mobile platforms, because HTML5 is really well supported now in the browsers on iOS and on Android.
Okay, and how would you develop apps for Unplugged? I mean, is do you use Domino Designer, or do you need a completely different development IDE for that?
No, you use standard Domino Designer. It's the standard design tools that XPage developers are used to. One of the things that we're working on in the near future is building some starter templates so that developers don't have to start from a completely clean sheet. So we have an approvals app that we make available with the Unplugged SDK. We're also working on a team room and a doc library. So many organizations have rolled out, you know, hundreds of team rooms and document libraries, and would like to offer versions of those to iPad users that would also work offline. So those are going to be standard templates that will appear in the next couple of months.
And I remember when Unplugged first came out, I saw it really, really early on. Richard Sharp came down to Atlanta to an Atlanta and did a demo of it.
Yeah.
And I believe back then there was one designer, Carl, that you could get for free just to try it out. Is that still the case?
That's still the case. Yeah, it's a free download with one designer, Carl. So you can build, you can get up and running just in an hour or so.
I think that is a phenomenal way to drive adoption. If you can do a proof of concept and say to your manager, look what I can do but you can't, he is going to drop the money right then.
And Darren, you must remember when, do you remember the Lotusphere when there was some media kind of coverage just before Lotusphere that IBM was going to support the iPhone? Do you remember for notes? And it was kind of the preview of the Traveller announcement or preview. And there was some very strange kind of mock-ups on press sites of, you know, the notes client for real running on the iPhone. And there's been a number of people since then that have kind of followed up by saying we need notes support on the iPhone rather than just Traveller. And I guess, yeah, whilst I don't think we're ever going to get that, and probably I'm not sure we need it, actually it sounds like Unplugged gets us a step further down the road where we're getting a lot of the functionality that people associate with notes, you know, offline access, replication, so on, but actually, you know, perhaps with more modern applications that run on the iPhone.
Unplugged is effectively a miniature notes client for phones and tablets. It has a workspace with multiple icons. It's not, you know, not very different to the notes workspace idea.
It's kind of recursion. You've got your icons on iOS, you click on it, then you've got your icons inside of inside of Unplugged itself. It's like, whoa, that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, you could regard the Unplugged workspace as a secure container because we encrypt all the data that we store in the Unplugged XPages apps in the most secure way that you can on iOS. You regard it as a container for your business data.
And another thing is you touched on this earlier, but I want to reiterate, it's familiar for people who have already built the application in Notes. It's the exact same feature set and functionality, if be cut down somewhat, on the mobile device. You're using Domino Designer, you just use a specific subset of requirements. And remember, people, this is mobile. You ain't going to do your 65-form, 420-view CRM.
Exactly. Applications have to be slimmed down quite a lot to make them work well on mobile. It's true. Yeah.
And so, you know, most of the conversation so far has been around how this technology supports Domino and Notes applications. And then there was an announcement back at the beginning of June that you guys were working on something new on Project Dragonfly. So do you want to talk about how that relates into Unplugged and what Project Dragonfly actually does?
Sure, Stuart. Yeah, so with Unplugged, we have the capability to build any kind of app that syncs to a Domino server today. But what we're doing with Unplugged is to expand the connectivity. So not only will it sync with Domino servers, but it can sync with a variety of enterprise backends, as long as they provide some kind of standard web feed interface. And connections is interesting. We see quite a lot of adoption this year in some of our customers, Team Studio customers, with connections. We like it ourselves. We use it ourselves. And we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could sync the Unplugged engine, not only with a Domino server, but with a connection server? So we're extending the architecture of the engine so it can support a variety of different web feeds. So connections has an API that presents Atom feeds in XML. So we're building a connector that communicates in the Atom format with the connection server. And we're also building an app that runs on the Unplugged engine that will let you take a lot of your connections information offline and synchronize it when you wish. So it's kind of it's the first of a number of different connectors that we're going to make available. So it won't stop at connections, but connections is a really interesting one. Our target is to get this running and available to users by next Lotusphere.
Fantastic. And so it sounds like the key is very much the offline access. So, you know, I know IBM has its own apps which do a little bit of offline access. There's some caching and stuff that's going on the latest versions, but it sounds like that's almost a starting place for this. It's saying that we realize connections is growing. You know, we know obviously that mobile access is really important. So actually now let's take much more of the connections content and make it available wherever you are on your mobile device.
Yeah, so we're not under any illusions that we're going to sort of displace IBM's existing connections app, because I'm sure over time they'll improve that. They'll add more offline capability to it. But what you get with Dragonfly is customizability. We're going to make the template that we build for connections available, and developers can tweak it to meet their particular needs. And one thing that is really important is, I mean, connections is a big app on the desktop. It now has a lot of different features, a lot of different screens. Different users want to take different subsets of that functionality depending upon what they actually use. So the ability to customize which connections information gets synced down to your device will be pretty cool. And that you get that for free because it's an Xpages app. It's really easy to customize.
And I want to give Team Studio some serious kudos here, because you get a lot of these ISVs that develop these application frameworks, but then never write an application in their own framework to prove it works. and I think this goes to show that you can do it and you should do it. Hint, hint, cough, cough, IBM, Xpages, iNotes. Cough, cough.
You know, I guess it's somewhat brave of us, because we've sort of put a stake in the ground to say that this connections app is going to be pretty cool. So we've got to really make it work now.
So I've got to ask you, Steve, why the project name? Why is it Project Dragonfly rather than, you know, call it a product? And how did you come up with the Dragonfly name? Why that?
Well, yeah, we felt it had to be an insect because it had to be sort of small, you know, like a smartphone relative to a PC. So that we started to think about insects rather than animals. And then dragonflies, it's the world's fastest flying insects. So we like that. So that's why the other thing is dragonflies got two pairs of wings. So the dragonfly app will synchronize with two different servers, Domino servers and connection servers. So we thought that was cool.
Sounds very neat. Sounds like you thought that through. And and going back to your point about customization, is that going to be kind of user customization, or is that more on the admin side or developer side? So somebody in an organization is going to say, we want to give an app to our users to take offline content from our connection service. We will now customize that to take the content that our organization needs users to have. Or is it more that the users can actually tune exactly what they want to take?
There will be some configurability in the app that we release in January, but what I was alluding to earlier was more developer customization. It's just developers wanting to, you know, scratch their particular itch.
Sounds good. And you know, clearly, offline is massively important, and you've mentioned the timescales. Are you building this for Connections 4? Obviously, we've got Connections 4 coming at some point later in the year. I don't think we've got a detailed date yet. We've talked about that in a few previous episodes. But anyway, it's coming this year. So do you suspect that or plan that Dragonfly will support Connections 4 from when it's released?
We're planning that it supports Connections 3 and Connections 4. And we're expecting Connections 4 to appear in Q4. If it doesn't actually ship and go live within By Q4, we won't be able to support it. But at the moment, we're anticipating supporting both. We think that the API, the Atom Feed API, isn't going to change that much.
And I think if it does go into 2013, IBM will just license the rights for 2013 and call it 2012 R2.
You could be right there, Darren. And Darren, you speak to a lot of customers. You hold a lot of mobile devices yourself. I know you've been through Android and iOS and various other things. Do you see this as being something quite important in terms of both bringing together Xpages and connections into one piece, but also that true offline support versus just some element of caching on your device?
It's huge, and it's huge for a reason that I don't think many people who don't do it realize. It's mobile development is usually pretty difficult when compared to desktop, because you've got real estate, you've got different devices, you've got different form factors. And on Android, bloody hell, you've got 65 million different ways to close a screen.
Yeah.
So, abstracting that out from a developer, which is what Noteless Notes has always done, makes it so much easier for you to provide a business value application in days instead of months, weeks, or sometimes even years, and at a cost factor.
Yeah, this is the central point, I think, Darren. You're right. For enterprise apps, you know, if you're going to engineer an app to work well offline as well as online, and to provide the features that the users need, it's a substantial engineering project. And in the consumer space, you've got massive audiences, so you can justify building these offline synchronizing apps, but in the enterprise world, you might only have 10,000 users and the budget for the app is limited. So somehow you've got to abstract it and allow the developer to work at a much higher level without having to worry about all the plumbing, all the synchronization plumbing.
And the retraining.
Absolutely.
Right. If you want to target even just one device, there's a massive learning curve with that. And as an example, on the radio the other day, the city of Boston in Massachusetts has just released an app, a free app that is an iPhone app, and actually will register when you drive over big potholes and send that information back to Boston so they can fill the pothole.
Yeah.
And they've now released the source. That is neat. They released the source code to other government agencies, and any city government, I think, can request access. But that app alone, just that app, cost $80,000 to build.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things about the Notes developer community and now the XPage developer community is that they were always good at speaking directly with end users in the business, that you didn't need to set up a big team with, you know, different people to the technical person wouldn't ever speak to the end user because there was another person on the project team that would do that. You know, everything was more compact and faster in the Notes development and now the XPages world. You can have a really compact team with just like one developer speaking directly to end users that can build something on the mobile device that can do offline sync. And that's kind of part of the vision of this.
And I think there's something else that's kind of playing into Team Studio's favor here, and that is in the last 6 months, we have seen a major, major increase in people requesting travelers. So people are starting, the bigger customers are now starting to dip their toe outside of BlackBerry. But I think the good news for anyone that uses Team Studio and Plugged or Dragonfly is it's multi-platform. So you don't care that you may have Androids and iPhones and iPads and iPod Touches and BlackBerries. As long as they're at the minimum level OS, they can all access any unplugged app. And I think there's a substantial amount of value in there if someone was to sit down and do the math on taking an existing application to mobile on the ROI. And people are asking for this. Every traveler open mic you get, it's like, when is IBM going to release a development tool for that? Well, you know, WorkLite might be it, but WorkLite is a completely different beast.
Yeah.
Unplugged is not.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's a whole community of XPage developers that could get up and running really very, very quickly. And they'd have a big competitive advantage out there in the marketplace because in the world of enterprise apps, to give a developer a tool that lets them build an iOS and an Android app with the same code without having to master the native development tools on those platforms, that's a really big step forward. WorkLite kind of WorkLite also does that to some degree, but it's not nearly as high level. We can use the Domino Designer. We're developing a set of custom controls, so you can just do you can drag and drop design elements into your app project. So you don't get that really high level of abstraction with WorkLite tools or other mobile development tools today. So that's what we're really excited about, is piggybacking on all the great stuff in the Domino Designer and the XPages development model.
And let's not forget about free initials, ACL.
Yeah.
You'd have to record that.
Yeah.
On any of a mobile device you have, if you're accessing Domino Day, you have to build your own security model.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I'm really excited by it. I think, great work on the announcement. I also, kudos to you guys for really embracing the community on this, because you obviously got the community you built on the Greenhouse, and I know Abigail and others have been tweeting very vocally about it. I think you're beginning to build a group of people that are very, very interested in Project Dragonfly, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see what ships, obviously, towards the end of the year, and then in January when you go live with the product. So great work, Steve. Really appreciate you telling us all about Project Dragonfly today. Is great. But so we're going to move on to our other news topics of the week. Something that's very closely associated, obviously, is IBM has shipped its latest apps for iOS and Android for IBM Connections. This is version, I think it is 1.32 or something like that. No, 3.2.0. And that brings in a load of stuff down. Have you had a chance to try out the latest versions?
I have, and I was actually blown away because for once in their life, they've followed the normal design of the underlying OS. It's a very nice app. It swipes where you think it would swipe. It scrolls where you think it would scroll. It works. It's kind of a very nice experience on the whole.
And so they brought in, and Barnes-Lavin's kind of pre-announced some of this stuff at Lotusphere, both in private sessions and also in the the app future sessions she delivered there. And I was blown away by what they were planning. And I have to say, I thought they were going to find some of it quite difficult to do, particularly the native support for profiles. So, you access the connections profiles data really through the same UI as you access, names and addresses on your iPhone. Same with files. There's a native interface for that now. And it does much more caching as well, which we obviously kind of mentioned in the conversation with Steve as well. But I think they've really tidied it up. They've made a great job. And of course, the other very noticeable difference is it's now blue. The logo has changed from the kind of Lotus orange straight yellow through to an IBM app look and feel. So I think they're doing a good job in terms of bringing this forward and improving the apps all the time.
And I think same time was the first blue one, right?
Yeah. It was, the last release of that app. So, they're beginning to kind of make the IBM brand stick a little bit more rather than it seeming like they've just taken the Lotus out. I think that they are trying to make them much more IBM applications. So,
I think they've backed up something that they've been saying for a couple of years, and that is that mobile is now a tier one brethren to their desktop apps and their Java apps. And I think this has proved it. My only worry is, I don't think you can go 6 months to every release. I think they need a, release often, release fast. And I would like to see that. I think it's difficult, I know, but this is a good basis for them. It's a very, very. I haven't looked at the Android one. I want to hands up on that. But on the iPad, it is a really, really nice and usable app, and I was shocked, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it is a big step forward, the new connections release. I agree. Yeah. I'm a little confused as on the branding, because on the IBM's website, they still use the Lotus brand and the Lotus name, but the IBM brand seems to be, occasionally, or people talk about IBM connections and not Lotus connections. I wonder how they're going to resolve that.
It's a little bit Jekyll and Hyde right now, for sure. And actually, I was looking on the iTunes website, and it still says by IBM Lotus as the vendor of the IBM Connections app. So I just wish they'd rip off the Elastoplast or whatever the phrase that's been used many times is, and just get rid of the Lotus name. But it seems like it's going to stick around for some products for a while. But certainly, I think they're trying to make all the social business stuff very IBM-centric. But
It would make a lot of sense.
We'll see where they go with that. They've heard our opinions many times, so we'll see. One of the other big announcements that we kind of previewed last week was the OpenNTF winners have now been formally announced. We spoke last week with the XPages book authors in terms of some of the apps that had been submitted. The announcements have now been made. Darren, do you want to talk about some of the announcements, some of the winners that you saw and liked?
Well, the main one that won the application category, because there was two categories this time. There was applications and there was controls. And the application that won is an application called My Webgate, which is out on OpenNTF. And if you look at it and you look at the screenshots, your first thought is, wow, that's connections in Notes. Or more likely, it is the basis of what could become a connections type application natively in Domino running via a web browser. And I'm gonna crucify some names here, so I apologize. But my Webgate authors were Christian Goodman, Peter Lauder, Richie Smith, Marco Baumann, Arthur Wiener, and Barbara Hagenauer. So congratulations to them for that. And also, there was a second winner, Responsive Website, by Martin Rolfe, Adam Foster, and Graham Simmons. So congratulations to both of them winners. If you look at the screenshots, you're going to be like, wow, activities and profiles in Domino? Really? Wow, for free? Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah, and there's been previous goes at kind of collections in Domino. We tried to take one to market that a partner of ours had developed, and we just didn't quite make it there. So it's great to see, particularly an open source version of that happening. And there's no reason you can't do social software on Domino. You know, the guys at Elgugi have well and truly proven that. So it would be great if my WebGate gets taken on by the community and kind of move forward as well. And there are also announcements for the Xpages controls category. So there's one called Xpage Debug Toolbar by Mark Lusink, and also ITWU Exporter on Xpages by Stephen Schramm and Christian Annewald.
I've got to give Stephen and Christian kudos for creating an almost IBM-like name for their plug.
It could easily be, couldn't it? So, prizes are on their way to those guys, and it's great to see OpenNTF moving from strength to strength, and I think all the guys involved in that, particularly Nicholas and Bruce, need serious kudos in terms of moving that forward and building these contests and clearly generating some really great apps for the Xpages platform. So good on you guys. Well done.
And thank you to the judges.
Yes, indeed. And something that Ed Brill has been discussing quite a lot is Traveller HA is going to go GA very soon. Now, Darren and I have both been involved in the design partner program, so there's some stuff we can't talk about yet, but certainly Ed has made very clear that that's going to come now in Upgrade Pack 1 and is going to use a relational database backend to allow that HA, which some people are kind of asking questions around, but it seems a pretty good solution if you need that HA functionality for Traveller and you need that redundancy.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's Traveller high availability, so that if one of your Traveller servers goes down, it'll fill over. Now the caveat here is you do need some type of IP sprayer or Lotus Mobile Connect, and Lotus Mobile Connect is free on the client side for some customers, and it is what it is. I think a lot of people put a bit too much force behind needing HA on mobile devices. RIM added it, and I have not had a single RIM customer through all of the years do high availability on BlackBerry, on Bears. So it's going to be interesting to see what the take-up is outside of the Fortune 500 kind of companies on whether they really need high availability on Traveller.
The other thing is, I remember right back from my days on RS 6000s, and we had a product called HACMP that we used to implement to give you clustering across multiple enterprise servers. And the whole point of doing clustering was to remove single points of failure. And you really need to remove every single point of failure to have a truly clustered environment. And so, this solution gives us clustered Domino servers for Traveller. But if you really want to remove single points of failure, you've also got to remove, you've got to have multiple IP sprayers, you've got to have multiple database servers. So unless you're going to go down the lengths of having all of those clustered, you're not really adding to your overall availability. So you kind of got to keep that in mind. It's not as simple as clustering the Domino server and everything else takes care of itself with regard to Traveller at least.
Correct. And like Stuart indicated, it is a relational database engine, so you'd need clustered DB2 or clustered SQL Server. I didn't look to see what versions of SQL Server were officially supported, and that might not be out yet. But you would have to cluster them together. And I believe DB2 is an entitlement as that.
Yes,
as long as
it's included. Okay, and there's going to be a webinar on it on the 21st of June, so we better get this show out before then. I will do my very best, which I think that Paul Moody is involved in. And Steve, I know Paul does quite a lot of work with Team Studio. I guess that's something we would recommend.
He was visiting over in Huntingdon yesterday, actually. I was chatting with Paul and Harry.
Okay, so Paul Gab Davis, from Turtle Partnership, and Chris Miller are all going to be involved in that webcast. So do register on that. We'll have the link in the show notes. There's a link from Paul Mooney's blog as to how you register for that webcast.
And there's also IBM's own open mic somewhat after that, middle of August. So feel free to download it on the 26th, which is the GA, the general availability date today. But if you break it, you've got a long time to wait till you see IBM's own webcast.
Good stuff. So make sure you're on that webcast that the community's doing. And it's fantastic to see, actually, IBM kind of trusting business partners to take some of this stuff through to the market, because I know they've been recommending that webinar as well. So that brings us to the end of our list of topics for this week. We're going to move on to tips. So, Darren, what's your tip for this week?
I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Has anybody ever accidentally deleted 27 terabytes of data? I have.
27 megabytes, maybe. Terabytes, that's going some, Darren.
I did, by accident. Let's just say, when I realised what I'd done, there was a bit of silence and then a lot of swearing. But I only had to recover a subset of that. A lot of it was already still backed up, but some of it wasn't. Maybe 400 gig, 500 gig wasn't backed up. So I worked late into the night, and I found a tool called Recover, which is completely free and gratis on Windows. And I bought a couple of tools prior to finding this one that couldn't recover the files. But this one, Recover, R-E-C-U-V-A, the link is in the show notes, absolutely recovered every single file I needed of the 400 gig of 27 terabytes I didn't already have.
Wow, worth every penny if it was a chargeable tool, but the fact it's free is even more amazing.
I would have paid a lot of money after leaking that much data.
Fantastic, that's a good one. Okay, and Stephen, do you have a tip for us?
Yeah, I've had my iPhone now for 3 years, but I always miss bank holidays in my diary because they're not in the standard diary. So a couple of weeks ago, I found that there are actually 5 or 6 really good apps in the App Store, which if you load them up, they'll inject all of the holidays and bank holidays into your diary automatically and for different countries. And some of those apps are free.
That's much more of a problem in the UK where you have one. You have 2 a week right now, right?
that was a killer week last week, yeah. In more ways than one, yeah. Yeah, so I will post a link to the app that I found that works really well for holidays on the iPhone.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you for that. And we'll make sure we have the link in the show notes. I have a couple of tips. One is, you may remember my anti-tip of about a month ago, which was the iOmega Store Center NAS box, which is as useless as anything can be, despite costing £350. There is a direct replacement. I've directly replaced mine with something from Western Digital, which is called MyBook Live Duo, possibly a worse name we've discussed this week, but it does the job really, really well. It's basically the same as the Store Center. It's a couple of rated SATA discs you plug into your wireless router. It's a typical NAS type environment, but it actually works. It's fast, it's reliable, it stayed on the network. It's everything that the iOmega device isn't. So just to kind of correct that, over a couple of weeks ago, about £300 in the UK. The other one is, we have an event, you've heard about it many times, it's Social Connections 3. It's coming up in Dublin next Friday on the 22nd of June. Team Studio are being great and sponsoring our drinks reception and sponsoring the event, so kudos to them, also to all our other sponsors that are taking part. The drinks reception, actually, for those that aren't aware, is at the Guinness headquarters in Dublin. So,
Wonder what kind of drink you'll get there.
Oh, I wonder. You get to pour your own. You get trained on how to pour the perfect Guinness. What could be better? All expenses
paid. And then, do you get trained on how to drink?
Hopefully not too many people need to retrain on that, but it's looking like it's gonna be a fantastic event. Even though I do say so myself, we're up to over 100 registered attendees now, which is by far our biggest ever. So if you are interested in IBM Connections, you can get to Dublin. Flights are pretty cheap with Ryanair or many other airlines. If you want to get there, we've still got a few spaces left. So do have a look at socialconnections.info. If not, do check out the recorded videos and screen shares and so on that we'll put online after the event. And it's going to be really great education for Social Connections. Thanks again to all our sponsors for helping us put that on.
And did I hear a rumor about Social Connections 4, the location? Or is that not public knowledge?
It's not confirmed yet. We will be looking to go to mainland Europe. The exact location is yet to be announced. We will probably announce it next Friday at the third event. So, yeah, look out for that.
You should have went this week to the Ukraine and you could have watched England.
Wouldn't that be good?
And you could have been disappointed in person instead of watching on the TV and be disappointed.
Yeah, it better go well tonight. That's all I would say. So thank you to everybody that's taken part this week. Stephen, that's you. Thank you so much for being
part of the show.
Really appreciate it. And loved hearing about your new product and plans for Project Dragonfly and so on. Are you on Twitter or do you have a blog that we can follow?
I am, yes. Twitter/SIVES, S-I-V-E-S. That's my personal Twitter.
Fantastic.
The blog is on unplugged.teamstudio.com. We have a blog that updates on all that stuff.
Brilliant. Well, good luck with all of that. Really appreciate hearing from you today. So thank you very much. And Darren, how do people find you?
blog.darrenduke.net. And yes, there was a blog post this month. Way, he did one. And Darren Duke, all one word, on Twitter for my 140 character rants against Nokia and Firefox this week are the targets of my ire.
Join the club on that one. And my blog is at blog.collaborationmatters.com, and also you can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre. And one of the breaking news stories today actually is Microsoft taking over Yammer. So if you look at my tweets, it's all about who IBM might acquire to compete with that. So
really? They just bought them?
Yeah, it's been confirmed. They're definitely doing the purchase. I think it's $1 billion they're buying them for.
So wow. What's Yammer and Skype together? Skype-ma?
I'm sure they'll do something along those lines. So that brings us to the end of our show today. Thanks for listening, guys. Do leave comments on Twitter or on the blog. We appreciate all your feedback. So until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.
Thank you, Steve. That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah,
that was very informative as well, even for us, I think, actually.